Daf Mem Vav. We will start 6 lines from the bottom of Daf Mem Hei Amud Beis. And the Gemara here is the middle of the sugya of what it said in the Mishnah, that even though normally the din is that when a person is mechuyev shvua, so who swears? The one that defends himself and claims that he doesn't owe the money, he swears and he is potter from paying. Nevertheless, the Mishnah said, there are certain cases where the Chachamim were mesakin, that the one that is claiming the money swears and gets his money, and one of those was a sochir, that if a worker tells his Baal Bayis that you didn't pay me the wages for my work, and the Baal Bayis says I did pay you, so then the din is that the sochir swears and gets his money. And as the Gemara explained before, because we believe the sochir more than we believe the Baal Bayis, because we assume that the Baal Bayis is sort of the poyalov, he is busy with his workers and it's very easy for him to make a mistake and think that he already paid, and therefore we believe the sochir more. So we tell the sochir, you swear and then you will get your money. But then the Gemara said that Rav and Shmuel both said that this din, that we believe the sochir more and therefore he swears and gets his money, is only if he hired him with eidus in front of witnesses. But if he did not hire him in front of witnesses, so then the Baal Bayis has a migud, because the Baal Bayis could have said, I never hired you. And if he would have said that, he would have been believed. So since he could have said that, now that he says, I did hire you, but I paid you, he is also believed. And now the Gemara is going to go on concerning this statement of Shmuel and Rav. And the Gemara says, Kori Rami Bachom Aleidit of Sheishas. Rami Bachom referred to the Sheishas, this pasuk that says, that by Yosem David is Advarim Ha'ele, Beliboy or Bilvavoy, that David put these things into his heart. There was something he took into consideration, he was thinking about. So Rav Bachome referred this pasuk to Rav Sheshes, because Rav Sheshes also took something into his heart, which means there was something that he put a lot of thought to. Where do we see that? The Ashkechei Rav Sheshes and Rabbi Bashmul, because Rav Sheshes met Rabbi Bashmul, Omalei said to him, Toni mar midi besochir, did you learn anything concerning the din of besochir? Omalei said, and yet, from him I learned that sochir bizmanoi, if a worker comes during the time when there is an obligation on the Baal Bayis to pay him before the time is up. Because we learned before there are certain times when he is obligated to pay. If you are a worker of the day, then you have the whole night to pay. If you are a worker of the night, then you have the next whole day to pay. So till the time is up, it's called bizmanoi. So if the sochir, the worker, comes during that time and he says that he did not pay me, and the Baal Bayis says, yes, I did. Nishba v'noitel. So then, the sochir swears and gets his money. Keitzad, what is the example? Bizman sh'om alois chatani. V'loi nesata lischori. If the sochir says to him, you hired me, but you didn't pay me my wages. V'aloi meren, he answers him, sechaticho, it is true, I hired you. V'nesati lachschora, but I did pay your wages. So then the din is that he has to swear and get his money. Aval omalei. But if he said to him, in other words, if the dispute was not whether he paid him or not, but the dispute was, but the sochir says, shtayim katatzali, you promised to give me 2 for my work. V'haloi meren, and the Baal Bayis says, loy katatzali loch el achas, I only promise, I only fix the amount of 1 to pay you. Then the one that is trying to take out from the other, he has to prove it, which means he would have to bring witnesses. And in this case, who's the moitzi? The sochir. Since the sochir claims that he owes him 2, the Baal Bayis says, I only owe you 1. So then the sochir is the moitzi. So we tell the sochir, amoitzi mechaverei olav araya, you are trying to take the money out of him, so you prove it. You bring witnesses that he owes you 2, and then you will get your 2. But otherwise, you only get 1. And from this braise, the Sheshes wants to prove that we do not accept the svara of Rav and Shmuel. Because in this braise we see 2 deen. In the first deen, where the dispute is over whether he paid them or not, the braise paskas 1 deen, that the sochir swears and gets his money. In the sefer, where the dispute is over how much he promised to give him, the braise says, Hamoitzi mechaveiro el varaya. So we understand that Ami, the sefer, baraya have, since in the sefer, the deen, that he has to bring araya, he has to bring witnesses that saw him being hired and know how much he was promised. Reisha beloy raya. So obviously the reisha, where the deen is a different deen. So then you don't have to bring araya, you don't have to bring witnesses. Because if the deen would be that in the reisha, you also have to bring witnesses that saw him hired. And that's the only time you believe the Sochir. So then the Braisa would have said that too. Since the Braisa makes a difference and says that in the case where the dispute is over whether he paid him or not, he just swears. If the dispute is over how much he promised, he has to bring witnesses. So obviously in the first case, he doesn't have to bring witnesses. Now if Rav Shmuel would be right, and even in the first case, he would have to bring a raya, he would have to bring witnesses. He would have to bring witnesses that he hired him. But then we would say the din that he swears and gets his money. But if he doesn't bring witnesses that he was hired, so then Rav Shmuel say that we believe the Balabais is a meager and he could have said, I never hired you. But since the Braisa doesn't say that, the Braisa just says in the Sefer that you bring a raya, that you have to bring witnesses, obviously in the Reisha. You don't have to bring witnesses, and nevertheless the Sochir swears on his belief, then he gets his money. He's a raya that we do not say the sword of Rav Shmuel, that if there are no witnesses that he hired him, then he doesn't swear, but rather we believe the Balabais and he doesn't give him any money. Rav Nachman Yitzchok said, no, Reisha the Sefer Beraya. The Reisha and the Sefer, both the din is that you have to bring a raya. Which means that even though in the Reisha it says Nishbav Noito, the Sochir swears and gets his money, this din is only if he brings a raya. Now the reason it doesn't mention in the Reisha the raya, because the raya, the Lishalom Ketana, the raya that you have to bring in order to get paid, that raya the Braisa mentioned, and that's in the Sefer. Because in the Sefer, if he brings a raya, that witnesses heard him being hired and know how much he was promised, and then he would collect how much he claims, so that kind of raya the Braisa mentioned. Raya the Shvuah like Tana, but a raya that even if he'll bring the raya, he still won't get what he claims. He will then just have to swear. All the raya will do is that make him swear, and then he will get his money. That the Braisa doesn't learn. And in the Reisha, even though you have to bring a raya, he has to bring witnesses that saw him being hired, but that won't help him to collect his money. He still will have to swear and then get his money. So that kind of raya the Braisa doesn't mention. And that's why it's no raya from that braisa that we do not accept the svara of Rav Shmuel. Then the Gemara says, Omer Rabbi Yirmeyah bar Abba, Rabbi Yirmeyah bar Abba said, Sholchu leimi bei Rav Shmuel, they sent a message from the yeshiva of Rav to Shmuel, Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu, our Rebbe teach us the din, what would be the din, if Umen Omer Shtayim Kotatzeli, the worker, the craftsman, says to the Balabais who gave him the work, that you promised to give me two, Saloi, and he answers him, Loi Kotatzi, Loch Ela Achaz, I only promised to give you one, Mi Nishba, which of the two has to swear? Omer Lehen, so Shmuel answered, Zu, Yishba Balabais, the Yastit Umen. In this case, the Balabai swears and he doesn't have to pay, and the worker, he loses. It is not like the case of our Mishnah where it says that if there is a dispute between the Sochir and the Balabai, the Sochir says, you didn't pay me, and the Balabai says, I did. So the Sochir swears and gets his money, and the Balabai loses. Here we say, since the dispute is whether he promised him two or one, so din is that the Balabai swears, and the woman loses, the worker loses. And the reason is because Ksita Vada Mitzvah Tchiri Inshe. How much he promised to give him, definitely people remember. In other words, in the Mishnah, where he claims that you didn't pay me, and the Balabai says, I did, there we say that we assume the Balabai forgot. Since Balabai started the Poyal of, since he's busy with his workers, and he had to pay many people, so he thinks he paid him, and really he didn't. So there was more reason to believe the worker, and therefore we say, let the worker swear and get his money. But if the dispute is whether he promised to give him two or one, here we don't say the Balabai probably forgot. Here we say that Misami remembers, because how much you promise, you remember. And therefore we cannot trust the Sochir, the worker, more than the Balabai. So therefore we say, let the Balabai swear, and he doesn't have to pay him anything, and the woman, the worker, he's going to lose. But then the Gemara says, Eina, it is not so. For Atoni, Rabbi Bar Shmuel, didn't Rabbi Bar Shmuel learn that the Braisa that we brought before, that Rabbi Bar Shmuel told Rav Sheshes that if the dispute was Kotzat, which how much he had made up Lechatchila, the Diniz, Hamoytzi Mechaveri Olav Araya, that the one that's trying to take out, which is the Sochi, has to bring a Araya, the Eloi Maisi Araya, Poka, and if he doesn't bring a proof, then he loses. So the question is, Amai Yishbe Balabais, the Yavtidumen, so why do we say the Balabais has to swear? And that's how the Sochi, the worker, loses. From the Braisa it seems that he doesn't even have to swear. Even if the Balabais doesn't swear, we say that the only way the Sochir will get his money if he brings a raya, but if he doesn't bring a raya, then he loses his money. So how could Shmuel say that the Balabais has to swear? Omar Rab Nachman, Rab Nachman said, it's dodging tani. This braise was learned to the side. In other words, the braise is not a clear-cut braise. The chat in the braise is like this. Oy may be raya vigito. Or, if he brings a raya, then he gets. So when the braise said, ha-moite mechaveire olav raya, is one option, one way he could do it. If the sochi will bring a raya, that he promised to give him two, then he will get his two. Or, if he doesn't bring a raya, so then yish v'balabayis v'yavsidume. So then the balabayis will swear, and the woman, the worker, will lose. So the braise didn't mean that if he doesn't bring a raya, he loses automatically. It means that if he doesn't bring a raya, then he is able to lose if the balabayis will swear. So the braise only mentions one of the two possibilities, but then there is another possibility that the balabayis swears and the woman loses. Then the Gemara has made, say, I will ask you a kasha. We learn, Hanois and Talisa Luman, someone gives his garment to a worker, and Uman Oimer Kasatsa Lishtayim. And the worker says, later you promised to give me two for my work. Ba'alo Oimer and the Balabai, he says, Loi Kasatsi Loch Ela Achaz, I only promised to give you one. The Dini, that calls man, Sheha Talis Beyad Uman, as long as the Talis is in the hands of the Uman. So then the balabayis is considered the moitzim chaveiroi, because the talus is in the hands of the worker. And the balabayis is trying to get his talus out by paying only one. So then we say, ala balabayis lo aviraya. The balabayis has to bring a raya. Because since the balabayis is considered the moitzi, so we say, ha moitzim chaveiroi all of a raya. The one that's trying to take it out, he has to bring a raya, which means he has to bring edim, that he only promised to give him one. But if not, if the woman already gave the talus back to the balabais, and now the woman is claiming that you owe me two zuz, and the balabais says, I only owe you one. So this man, if he's claiming within the time limit of when the balabais has to pay the sochir, so then nishba v'noito, then the sochir swears and gets his two zuz that he claims. Of as man, if he claims it after the time passed, so then we say, amoytze mechaveri alavaraya. Then, since the woman, the worker, is the moitzi, he's trying to get two zuz out of the balabais, and the time passed. So we say, ha-moitzi mechaveiro yod avarai, and the only way he will get his money is if he brings edim that he was promised to get to. But in the meantime, we see here that bizman noimi anish bevenoito, but if he claims, even if the talus was given back already to the balabais, but if the worker claims that he is owed two during the time before the time limit is up, then nishba v'noito, then the worker swears and gets his two zuz. Amai, why is it being like that? Yishba v'alabayis v'yafsid uman. Why doesn't the balabayis swear and let the uman lose? Didn't Shmuel say that before, that if the dispute is whether he promised to give him two or one? So here we say that the balabayis is more believed, so the balabayis swears and the uman loses. Because here we say the balabayis definitely remembered how much he promised. So there was no reason to believe the worker more than balabayis. But here we learn that if he claims the middle of the time, before the time is up, so then he swears and gets his money. Why shouldn't the din be like Shmuel said, that the balabayis should swear and the woman should lose? Omer Rav Nachman ben Yitzchok, Rav Nachman ben Yitzchok said, Omani Rav Yehuda, you know who said that din? This was Rav Yehuda. So Omer, he says, Kol Zman, Shvua Noite Eitz Balabayis, that whenever the Shavuah inclines towards the balabayis, which means that whenever Alpidin, the balabayis is supposed to swear, which would mean in the case of a Moide B'Mikzah, so then the balabayis would have to swear. So since it's concerning a dispute between the balabayis and the worker, so we say, Sochi Nishba V'Noitel. The worker is the one that swears and gets his money. Even though, in a normal dispute between two people, so the one that is Moide B'Mikzah, the one that's admitting to part and denying the other part, he is the one that has to swear. But if at the case of a Sochir, at the case of a worker, then always the worker swears. Even if the dispute is concerning how much money they made up. Not only if the dispute is whether he paid them or not. For instance, the Sochir said, you didn't pay me. And the Balabai said, I paid you part. So then the Balabai is a Moide B'Mikzah. But even if he's a Moide B'Mikzah concerning how much they made up, that the Sochir says, we made up that you will pay me two. And he says, I only made up to pay you one. So here too the balabais is a moide b'mikzah. So the Yehuda said that even in a case like that, the sochid has to swear. And the reason is because we assume that the balabais is busy with his worker, and therefore he doesn't remember, so the sochid has to swear. So we see that the Yehuda holds this svara, that we believe the sochid over the balabais, because we say the balabais is busy with his workers, we say that even if the argument was over how much they made up. Because before we said in the Gemara that there is a difference. If the argument is whether he paid him or not, we say the Balabais is busy with his workers and doesn't remember. But if the dispute is how much they made up, there the Balabais does remember. But Rabbi Yehuda holds that in all cases we say that the Sochid is the one that has to swear. So Mela, when it said before that if the Sochid, the Uman, is claiming his money and saying that we made up two, and this was after he gave the talus back to Balabais, but it was before the time was up, so then we say the worker swears and gets his money, his goes according to the Yehuda, because the Yehuda holds this opinion. And then the Gemara asks, hey Rabbi Yehuda, where do we find that Rabbi Yehuda is of this opinion? If you're going to say it's the Yehuda of the Mishnah, because it said in our Mishnah that the Tanakhama holds that whenever the Sochi claims to the Balabais that you didn't pay me, and the Balabais says I did pay you, so the Din is that the Sochi swears. Comes the Rabbi Yehuda and says that if it is a Din of Maidah B'Mikta, that the Balabais is a Maidah B'Mikta, that's when we say the Din that we transfer the Shvuah from the Balabais to the Sochi. And the Sochi swears and gets his money. So maybe this is where we find the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that we mentioned before. That whenever the Shvuah is noited to the Balabais, then the Sochi swears and gets his money. Because this is what he said in the Mishnah. That if there is a Hidah B'Mikta, if the Balabais is Maidah B'Mikta, then the Shvuah is transferred to the Sochi. So this is where we find his opinion. And we assume that this opinion is not only if the argument is that the Sochi says you paid, didn't pay me at all, and the Balabais says I paid you part. But also the argument is when the Sochi says that you made up to pay me two, and he answers I only made up to pay you one, but how can we say that? Achmurikam Achmir. The contrary, Rabbi Yehuda is machmir over the Chachamim, not Meiko. It's not because in the Mishnah it says, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Yehuda says, Achet Heisham Mikta Heidoe. And the only time we say that the Sochir swears and gets his money, only if the Balabais is a Maidah B'Mikta. Which comes out that Rabbi Yehuda is machmir over the Rabbanon. Because in the case where the Rabbanon holds that the Sochir swears and gets his money, nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda says he doesn't. Rabbi Yehuda says that when does the Sochir swear and get his money? Only if the Balabais is a Maidah B'Mikta. But the Chachamim say that even if the Balabais is not a Maidah B'Mikta, nevertheless the Sochir is believed and swears and gets his money. And Rabbi Yehuda says in a case like that, where there is no Maidah B'Mikta, the Sochir does not swear. Which means that Rabbi Yehuda is machmir over the Chachamim. That in a case where the Chachamim holds that the Sochir swears and gets his money, Rabbi Yehuda says no, the Sochir does not swear and get his money. So we have to understand that in a case where the Chachamim are even machmir, certainly the Yehuda is machmir. So therefore, in the case where we find the Chachamim hold that the Sochi is not believed, and that is the case where the Sochi claims you made up to pay me two, and the Balabai says I made up to pay you one, so there the Chachamim also hold the Sochi doesn't swear. So certainly the Yehuda should hold the Sochi doesn't swear, because in our Mishnah we see that even in the case where the Chachamim hold the Sochi swears, still the Yehuda holds that the Sochi doesn't swear. He only swears in a certain case Maidah B'Mikta's, but otherwise he doesn't. So he's machmir over the Rabbanon. So wherever the Rabbanon are machmir, wherever the Rabbanon also hold that the Sochi doesn't swear, so certainly Rabbi Yehuda should hold the Sochi doesn't swear. So how can you say that from our Mishnah we see that Rabbi Yehuda holds that if the argument is over how much they made up, then the Din would be that the Sochi would swear? Because if the Chachamim holds that the Sochi doesn't swear there, then certainly Rabbi Yehuda should hold that the Sochi doesn't swear there. So we're back to the question, do we find that Rabbi Yehuda is of that opinion? Hello, the Gemara says Rabbi Yehuda the Braisa. Must be Rabbi Yehuda that's mentioned in the Braisa. The Tanya we learn in the Braisa. So here, the worker calls now, shall he over all of his money, as long as the time limit for when he should get paid did not pass, and he claims that he didn't get paid, then he swears and gets his money. The in love, if not, if it's already after the time limit, ain't a nishbar v'noikos, then he doesn't swear and get his money. Omer Rabbi Yehuda said, hey Masai, when is this deed? That if he claims his money within the time limit, he swears and gets his money, it's only bizman sh'omar loy. It's only if he says to the Balabais, ten li shkori chamishim dinar sheyesh lo biyadcha, give me my wages, 50 dinar that you owe me. Rahu Oymen and Balabais says, he's kabalta man dinar zov, I gave you already one dinar zov. So therefore, he is a Maidah B'Mikta. Or in Shom Aloy, or if he says to the Balabais, Shtayim Kotzatza, you made up to give me two dinim. Baloy, man, he says, Loy Kotzatzi Lochavach, as I only made up to give you one. So there the dinim is that the Sochi swears and gets his money. Aval Omar Loi. Loi Sechatzicha Ma'olam. But if the Balabai says to him, I never hired you. Or Isha Omar Loi. Or he says to him, Sechatzicha Ma'olam of Korach. I did hire you. But I paid you already. Which means he is a koi per hakoil. Then Hamoitzi Mechaveri Alavarai. The din is that the one that is trying to take the money out, he has to bring a raya, he has to bring aidus. Which would mean that the Sochi would have to bring aidus. So here in the Braisa we see clearly that Rabbi Yehuda holds that if the dispute is over how much they made up, it has the exact same thing as if the dispute was whether he paid them or not. That just like he said, if he claims that he didn't pay him at all, and he says, I paid you a little bit, so therefore he is a moed b'miktzas, and in case like that we say that the Sochi swears, the same deen is also, if the argument is that the Sochi says we made up for two, and the Ba'abai says we only made up for one, he's also considered a moed b'miktzas, and the Sochi has to swear and get his money. So here we see that the Rabbi Yehuda is of this opinion, that in a case like this, even if the argument is over how much they made up, the Sochi swears and gets his money. So this is the answer that we gave before. And we asked the Kasha Shmuel, how could Shmuel say that the din is that if the machloikis is over ktsitze? So then the Balabai swears and the Uman loses. And we asked the Kasha that he learns that if he claims before the time of the payment is up that you promised to give me two, and the Balabai says I only promised to give you one. So then Nishba Benoitel, the Uman, swears and takes, and we ask the Kasha that this is a Kasha on Shmuel, and the Gemara answered that goes according to the Yehuda, and we asked where do we find it that the Yehuda is of this opinion, that if the dispute is over how much they made up, it has the same deen as if the dispute is over whether we paid them or not. So now we found this Braise where it says clearly that the Yehuda says that the same deen that we have if the dispute is whether he paid him or not, and the Yehuda holds that if he is a moed b'miktzas, then the Sochi swears and gets his money, the same deen is if the dispute is over how much they made up. If he says you made up to give me two and he answers I only made up to give you one, he is also a moed b'miktzas, and here too we say that the woman swears and gets his money. But now the Gemara asks, let's say just the opposite. Maski lo Rashesh and Breda Ravida, Rashesh, the son of Ravida asked the Kasha, Elo kotas Rabbi Yehudi Hivaloi Rabbonon. So what did you say here? That this deen, and if the dispute is over how much they made up, where we say that the deen is that the Sochi swears and gets his money. This only goes according to Rabbi Yehuda, we said, and not according to the Rabbonon. Now, hash teheche the machmir Rabbi Yehuda, miki le Rabbonon, if we see that in a case where Rabbi Yehuda is machmir, nevertheless the Rabbonon are meiko, teheche the meiko Rabbi Yehuda, machmir Rabbonon. So how can you say that where Rabbi Yehuda is meiko, the Rabbonon are machmir? Because in our Mishnah we see that in a place where the Rabbonon are meiko, which means in the case where there is no moed b'miktzas, so the Rabbanan nevertheless say that we believe the Sochir, so he has to swear and get his money. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda is machmir, and Yehuda says, no, we still don't believe the Sochir, and we don't say he should swear and get his money. Only if it was a moed b'miktzas, that's when he says the Sochir swears and gets his money. But otherwise, Rabbi Yehuda is machmir and says the Sochir cannot get his money. Even if he will swear, he will not get his money. So we see that the Rabbonon are meiko the Gavir of Yehuda. So how can we say that in the case of Kotzas, where Rabbi Yehuda says that we believe the Sochi and we make him swear and he gets his money, we should say that this is only the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim in this case holds that the Balabayis would swear and he would be put from paying, which means that Rabbanan in this case would be machmir over Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda says we do believe the Sochir, and the Rabbanan say we don't believe the Sochir, and therefore the Balabayis swears and is put. Now if we see in our Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda is machmir against the Rabbanan, that's where the Rabbanan are meiko, Rabbi Yehuda is machmir, so how can we say concerning Kotzas where Rabbi Yehuda is meiko that the Rabbanan are machmir? So if we find that Rabbi Yehuda holds by the case of Kotzas that we believe the Sochir, and he swears and gets his money, that Rabbanan certainly should hold like that. That certainly they should hold that in this case, the Sochir swears and gets his money. So how can we say before that this is just the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, but the Rabbanan argues? The Rabbanan would hold, as Shmuel said, that the Balabai swears and is parted from pain. So the Gemara asks back, the Elamai. So what are you going to tell me? Rabbanan. It goes also according to the Rabbanan. In other words, the Rabbanan also holds that if the dispute is over how much they made up, still we believe the Sochir, and the Sochir swears and gets his money. The Elamai, if so, hold it on Rabbi Bashmul. So what Rabbi Bashmul learned, he brought the Braisa where it says, that Kotzas, if the argument is over how much they made up, Hamoitzi Mechaveri Olav Araya, that the one that is trying to get the money, which is a socher, he has to bring eiders, otherwise he is not believed. We do not say that he swears and gets his money. Man, who does this go according to Loi Reb Yehuda, Loi Rabbanon, not according to Reb Yehuda, not according to the Rabbanon. Well, as we said before, that only Reb Yehuda holds that if the dispute is over Kotza, then the socher swears and gets his money, but the Rabbanon don't hold that way. So that Braisa, Rabbi Bashmu, goes according to the Rabbanon. But now that he's trying to say that if Reb Yehuda holds we believe the socher, certainly the Rabbanon should hold we believe the socher, and he should swear and get his money. So when the Braisa says that in the case of Kotza, it doesn't go not according to the Yehuda, not according to the Rabbanon. So who does it go according to? There must be some opinion that holds that in the case of Kotzas, we do not believe the Sochir, and we do not say that he swears and gets his money. Hello, my Rav, therefore Rav said, this is the machloikis between the Yehuda and the Rabbanon. The MS, this deen that by Kotzas we say we believe the Sochir, and the Sochir swears and gets his money, is only the Yehuda and not the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon say that in this case we do not believe the Sochir. And therefore, in the Braisa that Rabbi Bashmu brought, where it says that in the case of Kotzas, Hamoitim Mechaveh Elvaraya, Taka goes according to the Rabbanon. Ah, yes, Takasha, how is it possible? Because if Reb Yehuda is making and believe the Sochir, certainly the Rabbanon should be making and believe the Sochir. So he says, the Machloikas is as follows. Reb Yehuda, Sover Reb Yehuda holds the Deraisa of the Leitakan to the Sochir. That if there is a Chiv Shvur Deraisa, in the case where he's a Moed B'mikvah, that means that Midaraisa there is an obligation on the Balabais to swear. So that's when the Rabbanon made it a Koneh, so for the benefit of the Sochir, and they switched the Shvura, they took it away from the Balabais, and they put it on the Sochir. Since there is an obligation of the Shvura on the Balabais, Midaraisa, so that Shvura, they made it a Koneh for the Sochir, and they gave it to him. But with the Rabbanon, in the case where the whole Chiv Shvura is only Midarabbanon, in the case where there is no Moed B'mikvah, so the Meila Midaraisa, there is no Chiv Shvua. As we learned earlier, that Midaraisa, there are only three possible cases where a person would be Mechuy Shvua. Shvua Sashoimim, Shvua Seidechot, or Shvua of Moide B'Mikta. But all other Shvua are only Midarabon. So in the case where the Balabait is not a Moide B'Mikta, but a Koyper HaKoyl, so then there is no Shvua Midaraisa. The only possible Chiv Shvua would only be Midarabonon. So but the Rabbonon have it a cancer. The whole Shvua is only a Takonah the Rabbonon, with a cancer, it's a cancer, Loyav Dinah. We don't make a takona for a takona, which means that after we make a takona that there should be a chiyuv shvua, we should make another takona to that takona, that this shvua that was put here, that belongs on the balabayis, because normally a shvua is on the person who defends himself. And since that the balabayis is a defendant, so he would have to swear. So now the chachamim make another takona and take the shvua away from him and put it on the sochir. That the chachamim don't do. Lo yavdina, we don't do that. A takona to a takona, we don't do. But the Rabbanon Sovri, the Rabbanon holds, with the Rabbanon Namar Dinu Takan to the Sochir. And even if it's only a Shvua with the Rabbanon, we still make a Takana. They don't accept this Svara, the Takan to the Takan to Loyav Dinu, that a Takana to a Takana we don't make. So the Rabbanon holds that even though the whole Shvua here is a Takana to the Rabbanon, nevertheless, we are able to take that Shvua and make another Takana and switch it from the Balabayas to the Sochir. Uktitze Mitchedote. And the Rabbanon holds that when does this takona fit? Only in the case where he claims that you didn't pay me, and he said, I did pay you, so then we say that Balabais might not remember because he's busy with his worker. But in the case where the dispute is how much they made up, the Rabbanon holds that a person remembers how much he made up. So the reason for this takona to believe more the Sochir and make him swear and take his money doesn't apply back Ktitze. And therefore the Rabbanon holds that the dispute is over Ktitze, the Balabais swears and is parted from paying. And that's where Reb Yehuda disagrees, and he holds that even by Ketzitze, the Balabais does not remember. So the whole kasha we asked before, that how can we say that if Reb Yehuda holds by Ketzitze that we nevertheless are makel and we believe the Sochir and make him swear and get his money, the Rabbanon should still be machmir, when we know that normally the Rabbanon are makel against Reb Yehuda, it is no kasha whatsoever. It is not the pshat that the Rabbanon are makel against Reb Yehuda and Reb Yehuda is machmir. There's a side machlokes. The reason why in the case where the Rabbanon hold that we do believe the Sochir, when there is no Meid B'mikvah, Reb Yehuda holds that we don't make him swear, is not because he holds that in that case we are machmir and we don't believe the Sochir. The reason he holds we don't do that is for a side reason, because he holds we cannot make a takona for a takona. So Be'emes, he is not machmir against the Rabbanon. Technically he is machmir against the Rabbanon. But it's not because of the Svara he holds, but in the case where the Rabbanon believes the Sochir, he nevertheless does not believe the Sochir. It's not because he is machmir and holds it in the place where the chachamim believe the sachir, he does not believe the sachir. In other words, according to Rabbi Yehuda, to believe the sachir, you need a stronger ayah than according to the rabbanim. That is not the reason why he holds that in the case where there is no moed b'miktzav, the sachir doesn't swear. The reason is because he holds you cannot make a takana to a takana. But otherwise, it's possible that he holds exactly like the rabbanim. And the truth is, he is even makel against the Rabbanan. Because in a certain case, where the Rabbanan holds that the Balabais remembers, that's the case of Ketitze, and therefore there is no reason to believe the Sochir more than the Balabais, Rabbi Yehuda holds that even there we say the Balabais doesn't remember, and the Sochir is more believed than the Balabais. And therefore, in the case of Ketitze, Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Sochir swear and get his money, while the Rabbanan holds that the Sochir does not swear, the Balabais swears and the Sochir loses. But the kasha we asked before, that in our Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda is machmir, how can we say that Rabbi Yehuda is meikel in the case of ktsitze? In our Mishnah he's not machmir, he just holds takanta la takanta la yavdinen. And considering the case of ktsitze, the chachamim holds that the balabais remembers, and that's why the sochi does not swear and get his money, while Rabbi Yehuda holds that the balabais even there does not remember, and therefore even in that case he holds the sochi swears and gets his money. Then the Gemara continues to set in the Mishnah another example of a case where the one that claims, swears, and gets his money is the case of Nigzel, someone who got robbed. Okay, so the Mishnah said, for example, if two people testified that a certain person went into his house to take a mashkin without permission, so the person of the house says that he took from it, and that other person who went into the house says, I didn't take anything. So then the one that's claiming, he swears that he did take a kela, and he has to pay him for it. And the reason is, because since we have witnesses that saw him enter Shaloi B'Shus, so there is like Laim Ladova, there is like indication that he did take something, so therefore all we need is the one that's claiming to swear that the other person took, and he has to pay him for it. But then the Gemara asks, the Dilmel Laim Ashkenoi, maybe he didn't take anything, because he went in to take, does that prove he took anything? Why is this enough to say that all he does is swears and gets his money? There was this person who was holding an axe in his hand. And he said, I'm going to chop off the palm tree of that person. And we found that a tree was chopped off and laying on the ground. We do not say to who cut he did it. He chopped it off. Why? Because by just saying that he's going to do it, there's no proof that he did it. We see that a person could exaggerate and not do it. A person could claim he's going to do something and nevertheless not do it. And as long as we have no proof that he did it, by the fact that he just said I'm going to do it, we can't accuse him of it. So here too, the gozim v'leyoved, it's possible a person will exaggerate and not do it, even though he says, I'm going in to take something, who says he took? Maybe he just said it, he exaggerated, and actually he didn't take. But the Gemara says, Amen, we have to say pshat in the Mishnah, who mashkeme? Not only we have witnesses that saw him go in to take something, but they saw him go in and he took something. And therefore, since we know for sure he took, so all we need is the one that's claiming to swear that he took a kela and he has to pay him for it. But the Gemara asks, if so, if there are witnesses he actually took something, they live in my mashkene. Let them see what he took. In other words, the same Eidos that testify that he took, they will testify what he took, so he shouldn't even have to swear. They say they saw him take this and this kela, and he will have to give back that kela or pay the value of that kela. So why should he have to swear b'chol? The Rabbi Rabbi Chonah said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, "Poi anai kelim hanitol in tachas knofa." That what he's claiming is things, kelim vessels that you could hide under your coat, which means the Edim just saw that he walked out holding something under his coat, so they didn't see what it is. And the Balabai says that I know that he took this and this kela, so he has to swear that that was the kela that he took, and he has to pay him for it. So we have everything here. We have Edim that he went in to take. We have Edim that he took something. On the other hand, we still have to have the Balabais to swear, because we don't know what he took, so all he does is he swears that he took a specific kela and he pays him for it. Then the Gemara says, Omer Reb Yehuda, Reb Yehuda said, so uhu shehit mi kelim tachas knofa v'yotro. If witnesses saw that he hid kelim under his coat and he went out with it, for Omar, and the one that took it said, l'kuchin hem b'yodi, they are brought to me, in other words, that I bought them from the Balabais in their mind, and the Balabais claims no, I just lent it to him. He borrowed it from me, and I want him back. So then the person who claims that he bought it is not believed, even if he's going to want to swear that he bought it from the Balabai, he is still not believed. But the Balabai swears and gets it back. This deen was not said, Elo Balabai, She'ene Osui Limkoi Kelo. As we're talking about Balabai, and his custom is not to sell his vessel. So therefore, we are pretty sure he did not sell it, because he doesn't usually sell his things. Ava Balabai is also linked to the Kelo, but if it's a Balabai who is customary of selling his vessels, Nemon, then the one that claims that he bought it is believed. And the Gemara goes on. Sha'ain also linked to the Kelov, and even in the case where we said that if it's a Balabai who doesn't have the custom of selling his vessel, so we said before then the one that claims he bought it is not believed. Nam Eloya Moran, this is only also not said, Elodvorim Sha'ain Darkon Lahatin, only concerning things that is not the custom to hide it, which means a person is not embarrassed to carry them in his hand in the street. So therefore, he claimed that he bought it, he is not believed, for two reasons. One reason is because we assume that he probably did not sell it to you, since it is a person who doesn't have the custom of selling his vessels. He's not a storekeeper. He doesn't sell his scaling. So therefore, we do not believe you when you say he bought it. And the second thing, why did you hide it under your coat? If you would have bought it, you wouldn't have been embarrassed in carrying it in the street, because these are vessels that people are not embarrassed in carrying. If you borrowed it from him, as the other person claims, then we can understand why you put it under your coat. Because you were embarrassed to show the people that you had to borrow things, that you don't have it. But if you bought it, why were you embarrassed? Since these are kalim, that it is not customary to hide. So therefore, we don't believe him, and therefore we give it back to the Balabai. Avol dvarim shadarkan lahatmin, but if these are things which the custom is to hide, these are things that people are embarrassed to carry in the street, Nemon, he is believed. Which means that even if the person is not customary of selling this kalim, so the Chora, how can we believe the person that he bought it? But still, we say maybe at that time he needed money and he sold it. In other words, what the Gemara is saying here is that in order to not believe the one that says he bought it, you have to have two conditions. It has to be that the Balabai doesn't usually sell his kalim, plus these are things that a person would not be embarrassed to hold. But if, even if the Balabai doesn't usually sell his kalim, but these are things that are customary to hide, people are embarrassed to carry it, then we believe that he bought it. Because it's possible that even though he normally does not sell his kalim, and this time he did sell it. Then the Gemara continues. And even when we said that if these are things which normally a person does not hide, so then he is not believed to say that he bought it, Nam Eloy Amor is also not said, Ele Inish Deloy Tzaniya, concerning a person who is not so modest. And the Mela, we assume that he doesn't care to carry objects open. And since he hid it under his coat, obviously he did not buy it. Aval Inish Tzaniya, but if it's a person who is very modest, so we could say this is his custom, that even if this is an object that is usually carried in the open, nevertheless, he carries it covered because he is more modest than others. He is more correct than others. Which means that even if these are vessels that the custom is not to sell, and even if they are vessels that the custom is not to hide in, but if he is a person that usually does carry things hidden, so then we believe him that he bought it. And this deen also was said, when don't we believe him that he bought it? The dispute is that the owner says that he lent it to him, and he says, I bought it. But then we say we believe the Balabais rather than we believe him who said he bought it. But if he claims that they were stolen from him, then we don't believe the Balabais. Because we don't establish a person to be a ganes unless we know for sure he's a ganes. But if a person just claims that he is a ganes, we can believe him on that basis, and therefore we would not believe the Balabais. And also, this deen that we said, that under the circumstance mentioned before, we believe the Balabai that he lent it to him, is only if the dispute is over objects that it is customary to lend out or to rent out. But if it's over things that the custom is not to lend out and not to rent out, then the person who said, I bought it, is believed. Because we don't believe the Balabai who says that I lend it to him, because these are things which a person doesn't usually lend out. And the raya is because the sholoch Rav Huna Bar Ovin sent a message that the vorim asuyim lahashil lahaskir, that if the dispute are over things, that the custom is to lend out or to rent out, the omer, and the other person says, lekuchen heim beyodi, that I bought him, ainu neman, he is not believed. But if there are objects which the custom is not to lend out, not to rent, and he says, I lend it to you, and the other person says, I bought it, we believe more the person who says, I bought it, rather than the person who says, I lend it, because these are things that normally a person doesn't lend. He heard it of it, like in the case of Rav, that apik zuge desarbelo. He took away, he removed a pair of scissors that was made for cutting cloth, a safer d'agadete, and a safer of agadete. Miyasme, he took it away from the Yisraelim, because they were bedvorim hasuyim lahashil lahaskid. So these are things that the custom is to lend out or to rent out. And the case was that a person brought witnesses that these things used to be his, and he claimed that he lent it to their father. So Rav said that they have to give it back. Why? Because these are things which are hasuyim lahashil lahaskid. So we believe him that he lent it to their father. And even though the father wasn't alive here to say that he bought it, so how do we know from here that even if there is a dispute that one says I lend it to you and the other one says no I bought it, we don't believe the one that says I bought it, when in this case really there was no one here to claim that I bought it, nevertheless we have a raya from here. Because the din is that whatever the father could have claimed, we claim for the Yisraelim. Tainin Eliyahu Nebezin claims for the Yisraelim. So if the father would have been alive and he could have claimed Lekuchen HaBiyadi, that I bought it, and if he would have been believed with the Shvua, and he would have kept it, so then the din would be that we say the same thing to the Yisraelim, and the Yisraelim would be able to keep these things. And since Rav said that the Yisraelim cannot keep it, but the one that claims that I lend it to them, he's the one that keeps it, is that I, that if there is a dispute, that one says that I lend it to you, and the other one says I bought it, we believe the one that says that I lend it, because these are things which are asuyim lahashim lahashim. And as Rashi adds, that this is only because we were talking about a sefer of agadetes, because that is something that a person doesn't always learn. But other dvarim, since people constantly learn in them, so these are not considered from the dvarim asuyim lahashim lahashim, people don't lend it out, because since a person always needs it, and by lending it out it could get spoiled, because we know dvarim could get spoiled. As the Gemara says in other places, that if you find dvarim, sechatchila you are not allowed to learn in it, and you're not allowed to have another person learn in it, because it will spoil. So we see that Svarim gets spoiled. So since Svarim gets spoiled, people don't lend out Svarim. So in the case where it's the object that people don't let out, and the one says that I bought it, he would believe him that he bought it. And therefore in the case of the Yisraelim, since we tied it for the Yisraelim, whatever the father could have tied it, we would have tied it for the Yisraelim that they bought it, and they would have kept it. The reason here that Rav made him give it back was because of the Sefer Agadete. In the Sefer Agadete, people don't usually learn. And therefore, this is a thing that people do lend out, because a person doesn't mind really to get spoiled. So therefore, it's considered from the Dvarim Asuyim Lahashiv Lahaskir. And therefore, he believed the one that said that I lend it to you, rather than the Yisraimim, who we could have tied it for them it was bought. This is the opinion of Rashi, and Rashi says, V'chein kibalti mi Rav Yitzchak Halevi. That's how I received from Rav Yitzchak Halevi. But Tosha says that when the Gemara says that the case was concerning a Sefer of Agadete, it doesn't mean that Daske a Sefer of Agadete is called from the Dvorim Asuyim Lahashel Lahaskir, but certainly other Svarim. But if Sefer Agadete is a Sefer that you lend out, certainly other Svarim you definitely lend out. As it says in the Gemara in Ksubis, Afnun, that when a Pasuk says it's Kosoy, a Medes La'ad, that a person could do something, and his righteousness should stand forever, that means that Akois is Svarim u'mashim al-Achirim, as someone who writes Svarim and lends it out to others. So we see that it's a very important thing to lend out Svarim to others. So therefore, Svarim are considered from the Dvarim for Asuyim l'hashim l'hashim. Then the Gemara continues, Omar Rove, Rove says, and it said in the Mishnah, that if two people saw somebody go into the house without permission, and he walked out with something under his coat, and the Balabai says that he took a 30 kelah. So the din is the Balabai swears and gets his kelah back. But Rav said, Afilu shoy menishba, even the caretaker could swear, which means if the Balabai wasn't there, but the shoymer, the one that guards the house, the caretaker of the house, he was there. So he also could swear that he took the 30 kelah, and we believe him with the shvua, and the person would have to pay back the kelah. Even more than that, even the wife of the caretaker could also take the shvua if the balabais is not there. But the papa asked the question, What is the deen concerning the case of a hired worker or a retainer? What is the deen? If the Balabais wasn't there, can they swear instead? And these are people who were not hired to take care of the house. So can they swear or not? And the Gemara says, Seiko, this question remains unanswered. Then the Gemara says, Oh, my lady of Yemen, little Asher, the Yemen, sister of Asher, to anoi, kasa de kasa mai. If he claims from him a silver goblet, what is the deen? In other words, since we believe him with a shvuah, whatever he claims, so he could claim a very expensive article. He could say that he took a silver kalah. Would we believe him then too? So he answers, Kazina, we have to see. He inish the omidu, if he's a rich person, which means that he is able to own such a silver goblet, or inish the mahaman, or he's a trustworthy person, the maskid, inchigabay, that people hide by him things, and he claims that this goblet wasn't his, but someone gave it to him to watch, then mishtaba vishakil, and he swears and takes, then we believe him. But if not, if he's not rich, so we don't assume that he owned that silver goblet, or he's not a trustworthy person, and we cannot assume that people trusted him to let him watch their silver goblet. But then, if he claims that what the person took was a silver goblet, we do not believe him, since we assume that he did not own or have in his possession a kalah like that. Then the Gemara continues, it said in the Mishnah, Nirbal Keitza, that's one of the cases where we say Nishbav Anoitu, and he swears and takes, was a case of a nirbal, a person who was wounded. And the Mishnah gave the example. If two people testified that they saw him enter the house when he was complete, he didn't have any wounds, and he went out wounded, and he says to that person who was in the house, you wounded me, and he says, I did not wound you. So since it is pretty obvious that the other person did wound him, so he swears that he wounded him, and the other person has to pay him for the wound. So the Gemara says, Omer Rebbe Yudah Mashmul, Rebbe Yudah Mashmul, Lo Yishonu, this was not learned, Elo B'mokim Shiyochol L'chavu Ba'atmas, in a place where he could have hurt himself. So then we say, we are still not sure that it's the other person who wounded him, therefore he has to swear, and after he swears, he collects his money. Avo B'mokim She'en Hiyochol L'chavu Ba'atmas, if there's a place where he couldn't have wounded himself, Noito Shaloi B'shvur, and he takes, with Adi Shvur, he doesn't even have to swear, because it's obvious that the other person was the one that wounded him. But then the Gemara asks, the Nechash, let's be afraid, maybe he rubbed himself against the wall, and that's how he got hurt. So Rebchia learned, also in Yeshicha Begabot, that the case is where they saw a bite on his back, or they saw a bite between his armpits. So then we know for sure this didn't happen by itself. It must be it was done through somebody, and since that other person was in this house, we assume that this other person did it, and therefore he doesn't even have to swear. But then the Gemara asks, the Dilma Achar of Islay, maybe someone else did it. And the Gemara answers, the Leke Achar, there's nobody else there. So we know for sure it had to be done through somebody. We know for sure no one else was there but him. We know for sure he went in, he didn't have the wound. So we're sure that this person was the one that wounded him, and therefore he doesn't even have to swear, and he collects his money with Ali Shfur. Concerning what we learned before, the machloekes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is that Rabbi Yehuda holds we do not make a takanta with takanta, and therefore in the case where he was not a moedib mikvah, so the din is that the balabai swears and is potter from paying, rather than the sochi should swear and get his money, and the rabbonin holds we do make a takanta with takanta. So there is a machloekes between Rashi and Tosfos, what is the pshat in the word that we don't make a takanta with takanta? Tosfos learns, as we had learned pshat before in the Gemara, that it means that since we were supposed to make a shvuah here, because midaraisa, since he's not a moedib mikvah, there is no chiyuv shvuah. So the whole chiyuv shvuah is only that we made, meaning the rabbanon made that chiyuv shvuah. On whom should the rabbanon have made the chiyuv shvuah normally? On the balabais, because he's a defendant. So the chachamim, in order to make the sochi swear, would have to change that din and make it on the sochi. So this would be two takonas. One takona, the general din of shvuah, which automatically would fall on the balabais. In addition to that, make another takana, that shvur that should have fallen on the balabais will go on the sochit, it's takanta la takanta. And takanta la takanta, lo yavdin, and that's the opinion of the Yehuda. But Rashi learned that we're talking here about a shvur tesis. Since he's not a moedib mikta, so he's not mechuyev shvur midaraisa. He's only mechuyev shvur because the shvur tesis is of Nachman. As we learned before in the Gemara, that Reb Nachman said that even the koifer hakoil has to swear. And that is called a shvur tesis. So that is a takana de rabbanon that every koyfer hakoyel has to swear. Nothing to do with this case. A general takana that every koyfer hakoyel has to swear. And that's the pshat in the Gemara here, according to Rashi, that we don't make a takanta a takanta. That means that since the whole shvuah here is only a takana de rabbanon, this is a special takana that every koyfer hakoyel has to swear, and that takana is always on the defendant. So in this case too, the takana is the defendant to have to swear. Now the chachamim want to make another takana and take it away from the balabais and put it on the sochir. That's a takana to a takana, and that's what Rabbi Yehuda meant, takanta to takanta by opinion. But Tosfos says we can't say that shot that we're referring to here to the shvuas heses of a regular koyfer hakoyel, because that shvuas heses was established in the time of Reb Nachman. In the time of the Mishnah, there was no shvuas heses. So we can say that the machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim in the Mishnah is dependent on this din, whether we say takanta or takanta, concerning the takana of shvuas heses when there was no shvuas heses. Therefore, Tosfos says we must say, as the other pshat we said before, that this shvuah that we wanted to establish in this specific case should have been on the balabais. And in order to take it away from the balabais is a special detail in this takana, and that we call a takanta le takanta. Concerning what the Gemara says later, that Rav Nachman said, if a person is holding an axe in his hand and he says, I'm going to chop down that person's bekel, and later we found it chopped down, laying on the floor, we don't say he did it. Why? Because we say a person exaggerates, and since he says it, doesn't mean that he did it. So Tosfos brings that it says in the Rekeach that this is only by some person. But if a person is mukzik, we know a person constantly does such things, and even if he just says it, and we found it done, then we assume he did it, and we make him pay. Then that's the kasha. Why do we have to give the reason? Because a person exaggerates and really doesn't do things he says. He should be believed anyway when he says he didn't do it, even if not for that reason. He should be believed with a migui. He could have said that that person sold it to me, and he would have been believed. He would say he sold it to me. So the Mela, now that he says that he didn't sell it to me, but I never did it, he should also have been believed. How do we know that if he would have said he sold it to me, he would have been believed? Because it says in Cheskes Abatim, the Rebaster of Lamed Vov, Hai man de nokid migle betuvile beyodai. For Omer Ezo ve Agder le dikla de planya, deserved in the hell in the heaven. And if a person is holding these special kalim that you cut off fruit of a tree, and he says, I'm going to cut him off from that tree because that tree was sold to me, he is believed. Why? Because a person is not suspected of taking off the fruit from a dekel which is not his. So it comes out that if a person would say that he bought it, he would be believed. So in this case too, if he would say that that other person sold me the tree, he would be believed. So then he has a migo, he could have said he sold it to me, and I chopped off my own. So therefore he should also be believed when he says that I didn't chop it off. But migo, he could have said that I chopped it off, but it's mine because I bought it. And so his answer is that we can't compare the two cases. Over there, when it says a person doesn't have the custom, would not really go take off someone else's fruit, and therefore if he says, I bought it, he's believed, we're talking in a case where he took the fruit off. And that's why the Gemara picks the lashon, that there's a person who was holding maglev or tevila, the dakelim that you use to take off fruit. And it says there also, what did he say? Ezel v'agdere ledikle. I'm going to be goyder. The expression goyder means to take off the dates. And that's why over there is believed, because this is a custom that people do it. People sell fruits of a tree. So therefore, if he says that person sold it to me, he is believed, because this is a normal thing to do. But here, we're talking about chopping off the dekel. And that's why the Gemara picks the lashon narge, he's holding the axe, because an axe is used to chop off a tree. And it also has ezel v'iktalei, which means I'm going to chop off the tree. Here, even if he would have said it, he bought it, he wouldn't have been believed. Because it is not the derech for a person to sell a tree that gives fruit to chop it off. And here we're talking about a date tree. A person does not sell a date tree just to be chopped off. And therefore, even if he would have said, I bought it, he wouldn't have been believed. So that's why he has no meter. And Tosfos says, we see clearly in Perek HaChayim of a comment of Salik Aleph, that a person is not believed when he says that I bought this tree to chop it off. Because there the Gemara says, when it says in the Braise, if someone says to his friend, Shoyri Horakto, you killed my axe, Mitiyoti Kotatso, you cut off my things that grow, and he answers, you told me to kill him, or you told me to chop it off, he is potter, he is believed. So the Gemara says that this Braise is only talking by an axe that was Oymed Lahariga. It was ready to be killed. Or a tree that was ready to be chopped off. So we see that if it would have been a tree that's not ready for some reason to be chopped off, he wouldn't have been believed when he said, you told me to do it. So obviously he is not believed when this happens. So the same thing here, even if he would have said that it was his tree that he chopped off because he bought it, he wouldn't have been believed, and therefore he has no migul when he says that I didn't chop it off.
And the only reason we do believe him, because since we have no proof that he did it, we say that it is a custom of a person to exaggerate and not to do it. Concerning what we learned earlier in the Gemara, Machloiket between the Yehudim and the Chachamim, if the Sochi says to him, you made up to pay me two, and he answers, I only made up to pay one, so the Yehuda says that the Shvur that the Balabais was supposed to swear because he is a Moedim and Mixas is transferred to the Sochi, even in this case, and the Sochi swears and gets his money. But Tosfos says he must say that this is talking in a case where he didn't pay him yet. In other words, before he paid him, he says, you have to pay me two, and he says, I only owe you one. But if the case would be that he paid him already the one, and he comes to him and he says, you owe me another one because you promised to give me two, then the deen would be different. Because Rabbi Yehuda holds that this deen is only in the case of Moedim and Mixas. Bichlal he holds the whole deen of Esoch is swearing, wherever it should be, is only if there is a shvur and a balabais because he's a Moedim and Mixas. Now if the case here would be that he paid him already, but he claims the other one because he says, you owe me still one more, and the balabais says, I only promise to give you one and I don't owe you anything, so then the balabais is a koyf and a koyf, because that one he gave him already. So now there is only an argument over the other one, and the balabais says, I don't owe you, and he says, you do owe me, so he's a koyf and a koyf. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, there would be no din shvur. Therefore you must say that the case in the Gemara is where he did not pay him that one yet, and therefore we consider him a moedim and mixas. But then that's the kasha we learned before, that if Ovas Manos, if he claims after the time of payment passed already, and he says, you promised to give me two, and he answers, I only owe you one. So there, even the Buddha also holds Hamoitze Mechaveire Olavaraya, that we tell the Socha, you bring Eder that he promised to give you two, and you will get. But otherwise, he doesn't give him the second one. The question is, why didn't the Gemara say before that when do we say this Din of Hamoitze Mechaveire Olavaraya? Only because we have a Chazoket, the Balabais is not over, only Solim. And also there is a chazokia that the Sochi would not wait for his chidus. He said there are two reasons why we should believe the balabais. Because the balabais is not over on Lishtolim, and therefore we say that when it comes to the after the time, so then probably he remembered that he didn't pay. And if it would have been true that he didn't pay, he would have remembered it. And we don't say he's lying, because the balabais would not be want to be over on Lishtolim. Plus, since he's only asking for his payment after the time passed, we assume that probably he did get paid, because the Sochi would not wait with his payment. Now in the case here, he definitely waited with his payment, because we said before that this whole case is talking where he did not get paid yet. Because if he would have gotten paid already, then it wouldn't have been a Moedim and Mixas, it would have been a Koyf and a Koyf, obviously. So therefore, since he waited with his payment, and concerning one, the Balabais admits that he owes him, so here we're talking about a person who definitely does wait with his payment. And also we're talking about a person who is over on Lo Yisolim, because that's one that he definitely owes him, he didn't pay him either. So if here we're talking about a person who is over on Lo Yisolim, and a Sochid who waits with his payment, so the Chazokid that a person is not over on Lo Yisolim, and that a Sochid does not wait with his payment, does not apply here. So if so, why should we believe the Balabais and say, Hamoyse Mechaveire Olavaraya? And Toysa does not answer this question.